Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and under no circumstances do I have any cats under my command right now. And with me, I have...
Praise be the golden demon hunters for defeating the true evil, YouTuber industry plants.
And...
I call bullshit, Rob, motherfucker.
What? Me? What did I do? Come on, I'm just a silly little guy.
Really? Really? There was four cats waiting for me outside my house.
But, I mean, what? You don't have strays in your neighborhood? Every neighborhood's got stray cats. I mean, come on, that has nothing to do with me.
Why don't we say barracuda?
That could mean a lot of things. It's a very common cat name.
Okay, you know, give a cat name. It's my name. Then they can't bear a cuda. Then again, I know somebody who named a cat Tostada.
Yeah, see, cats have all kinds of silly names. So that was just a silly coincidence, and it has absolutely nothing to do with the blueberry Oreos. You see, Alex, I understand you had to sit out the recording because taking care of your health is important, but these are the shenanigans you miss out on.
Yes.
Oh, well, I'll remember that next time I'm very, very sick and I can barely get out of bed.
No one's house was destroyed, or bloodshed, or have some encounter with somebody with my animals, or you know, mobs.
Yeah, those cat mobs are serious business.
I mean, cat mobs.
I mean, they did took a whole bunch of people like down east, and then more cats appeared for some reason. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, you know, it just be like that sometimes. You really got to keep an eye out for those cats. But, anyway, this is not a cat podcast.
The hell yet. It isn't!
Yet. We have to figure out how to rework the structure. I'm thinking basically just the podcast like normal, except every artist name is a cat pun. Anyway, so, here we are, Decibel Boost Podcast, episode 404, which... You will, in fact, be able to find. Get it? 404? Error? Not found? Anyway, how's everyone's week been going?
If you can tell by the fact that I wasn't there for the album roundup, not good. I was sick all week, and it sucked. I still had to work through all of it. I only called out for, like, one day, because that was the day where I was like, fuck this, I'm not going anywhere. We've all had days like that, where we wake up late. You know, coughing fits, sneezing all the time, can barely breathe, feel like I broke one of my vertebrae in my neck, but I didn't.
Yeah.
That was not fun. I got 4 hours of sleep that night, and then I went back to sleep and slept until like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Because that's how sick I was, so I wouldn't have had much to say anyway other than, Tyler and Clips are very good. Fucking Alex Warren, why are you a thing? Go back to making terrible YouTube videos, you fucking weirdo.
I don't know why. I don't know why I made myself listen to that album.
Well, you did, and you have nobody to blame for that but yourself.
I mean, I can still blame Alex Warren for making boring-ass shitty music. Same with Turnstile!
Yeah, I still don't know what they are.
I will repeat what I said on Blue Sky. They are a band that makes music for the bad Tony Hawk games.
So everything after Underground 2. Got it.
Yeah.
Some of you might be mad at me for that. It's all a joke. Don't worry. It's just that some games are better than others. And some games are absolutely putrid.
And some caused their... Yeah, some caused their studios to get shut down.
Oh,
I might want to pick up that 3 and 4 remake though. That looked pretty fun.
Yeah, I'll probably do that, or I'll just boot up my old GameCube copy of Pro Skater 3 and 4 instead because I have them on hand. I should do that sometime. I have a lot of things I need to do and a lot of things I need to go out and see because I'm so busy with shit.
God, ain't that a mood? Anyway, Mark, what about you?
My week has been, well, kind of the usual. It's like, well, I'm through a long-ass work week. I can say it's only because I got a day off or two, which I'm just going to spend mostly being the cocoon saying, yeah, I'm not going nowhere for a day or so. I'm going to stay inside. That's like, unless I need to go out to get stuff like food or stuff. Yeah, basically doing that. Although I will say all week, well, the previous couple of days, I've been watching something. I watched something that came out recently, that being the new season revival, whatever, of King of the Hill, which that's actually pretty good. It's actually pretty solid. I know there's a whole bunch of battles going on, but it does feel like, they continue on about, what goes on there, a bunch of shit change, or a bunch of things, and the character's like, it's like, oh, get a bunch of new characters, and everybody asks, oh, hey, Keith David, you're in here. New voices. Yeah, and of course, new voices, because, for sad reasons and for obvious reasons. Well, the obvious reasons being like, the one character, Joseph Gribble. Oh yeah, you're voiced by a white guy back then. Yeah, time to change that shit. and Khan voiced by a white guy. Time to change that shit too. This got me thinking a lot of things about it. Like, how a couple years ago the Futurama reboot came to Hulu, it's like, oh, that happened. I mean, that was like, oh, that happened. This was like, oh, okay. This would be saying, oh, this would take notice. This would be saying more, like, remember I say I was more into the King of the Hill revival than the Futurama one. Yeah, it makes sense.
One of these days I need to actually work my way through King of the Hill.
You should. It's very good.
As for me, not really much of anything. Just kind of going through the motions day to day. And yeah, I don't really have anything spectacular to bring up. So let's switch on out from all that formality business to the usual weekly stuff. Starting, of course, with the new song discussion for the past week. As always, there will be a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along with us, pick up some new tunes, mark your calendars for new albums, all that jazz. So, what do we have to start things off here? Oh, hey, look at that. We're starting off with a Danger Mouse track.
Yeah, little Danger Mouse, who we haven't... Well, I mean, he means not much of anything. Like, last thing he did was that one record he did with Black Thought a couple years back. And apparently, like, he's been kind of silent, but now he's seen with, well, a new collaborator, someone that, well, that... Again, that I don't know, someone, a Toronto indie artist name by the name of More More, as More More, whatever, without the E. So,
sounds like a Pokemon.
More More, I choose you! And the song is called Wonder. And I gotta say, it sounds pretty good. Like, they got this new wave soul shit they're going with, I gotta say it does feel vibey. Like, vocals are interesting coming from War. It's like, the voice is kind of work with me, and I gotta say, like, the production does kind of get that sort of a new wave shit going on with it. Like, I kind of get with this.
Yeah, it's not too bad. Slow and steady, a lot of lush electronic synths and minimal drums, with equally ethereal vocals. It's a vibe.
Yeah, pretty solid stuff here, if a bit on the shorter end of things.
Yeah. And speaking of shorter things, so on to the second track here. A pretty notable announcement, at least for me. So, author and Punisher, the one-man industrial project of musician Tristan Schoen, has announced a new album due out October 3rd. It's called Nocturnal Burning and is the follow-up to the 2022 album Cruller, which I personally think was pretty damn good. But then again, I do enjoy some industrial, so I'm a biased party here. And so we have the lead-off single from the album Titanus, which is surprisingly short, as in, like, for an artist who's generally known for producing a lot of lengthy, droning industrial tunes, this is under just shy of 3 minutes. And so it doesn't really waste too much of its time. We have this interesting percussive intro with plenty of toms and sort of clanky mechanical rattling with this really nice rumbling bass line that eventually leads into sort of this more expected slow, sludgy riff and trudging drums with, you know, Tristan's vocals bellowing over top. It just kind of alternates between those two sections for, like I said, just shy of 3 minutes. So, interesting way to kick off an album cycle. I'm more curious what the next single would be, just because I feel like, you know, this kind of shorter thing works better as like an album interstitial as opposed to something that would be like more representative of the broader style, unless the whole album is just going to be like that.
Same exact thing I said about the first track, but with more low end and bass on here because it'd be kind of bassy, yo.
It do be. Anyway, moving on to the next track here. Oh, hey, we got an Anderson .Paak tune here. Haven't heard from him in a hot minute. And, oh, hey, look at that as well. Apparently he's on a Disclosure beat.
Oh, yeah, I haven't been in a while. All right, so yeah, they're doing another. So, yeah, it's another Boosie because, well, why the fuck not? It's a track called No Cap. And, okay, with this track, like, it does have this very, like, you know, very, I want to say hip house flavor type of thing, but that sounds kind of stupid, but I don't know. But anyway, like, you can feel the groovy energy on here, considering, like, in the video, like, I think it's like instrumentation because, like, you got the drums, the keyboards, you got Anderson doing the vocals, and then it sounds fantastic on it. Like, you got ones like keyboards in that three-key bubble pack, Sweet Tea Never, bass like Thundercat, he's the one with YP, dragging like Icy, Highlight Type Beam, Fire Pack. It's an interesting flavor of disclosure. I'm almost exposed for some reason, but yeah, I gotta say, it seems pretty good. I know that Disclosure sometimes most electronic acts often collab with, you know, a bunch of hip hop artists and stuff, but yeah, they seem more than, you know. So, I mean, somewhere in there in the warehouse, so yeah.
Yep, it's definitely a bop. The drums and percussion have this really tight, fast groove. The keyboards have a lot of really great, catchy, danceable melodies. And, of course, Paak spitting bars about how he's going to get freaky with whatever woman he's trying to impress. No cap. See, that's why it's called that. There's a motif here, you see. Anyway, moving on to the next track here. So, as we know, later on this month, August 22nd, we'll see the release of Deftones' 10th studio album, Private Music. Whatever that name means. I don't know, I never really understood. I like the band and all, but I never really understood the logic of their album titles. So, here we have single number 2 here, titled Milk of the Madonna. Which raises a lot of questionable imagery. I'm not going to think about that too much. So, while the previous single we got had, like, this kind of more slow, chuggy, thudding tempo, this one has more of this energetic, upbeat groove to it, kind of alternating between, like, you know, standard power chords and such, and building up these kind of walls of sound with the usual, like, multi-layer guitar chords. Factor in some of the melodic, that little melodic guitar bridge in the song, and I'm gonna be honest, a lot of this performance-wise and songwriting feels like it's taking ideas from kind of the Saturday Night Wrist era. Like, I forget the exact name of the song, but it kind of reminds me of that one collab they did that had Serj Tankian on vocals. This song is okay. I like it a bit less than the previous single, mostly because, like I said, Saturday Night Wrist, that era, not exactly super high up on my Deftones rankings, but it is what it is.
Oh, here we go again, folks. Sometimes I wish I could understand what people who like this band see in them, because, yeah, I got nothing here. Like, the soaring shoegaze blend of vocals and the really repetitive guitar riffs here just do nothing for me. Well, listen, I'm picky. I like Porcupine Tree music, okay? I can't help it. If you want to be, you know, shoegazy and repetitive, stretch that shit out to 16 minutes and make it about drugs.
Man, now I want drugs. You got any drugs, man? Oh, right. I gotta go talk to the drug man later. Anyway.
The jokes keep on rolling.
And speaking of rolling, so on to the next track. Do rappers suddenly have a thing for construction now? Because there was a new Jid album that came out, you know, pretty recently. And I haven't gotten to it yet, but apparently there's a song where he fucking beefs with Bob the Builder, of all things. Which, honestly, I'm going to say this right here, probably still more justified than Drake taking shots at Esperanza Spalding. Good lord, what the fuck is wrong with that man?
Yeah, oh, and by the way, the song Emerson, that little song that features Clips.
Tell you, everyone's catching that smoke. No one is safe from Pusha.
Maybe Jid wanted to do that one kind of Icarus bit where he jumps into that world to have an affair with Bob the Builder's wife. Just an idea, just a theory. Don't think too hard about it.
But
I guess he's an Eddie Manny fan.
Maybe. No. How dare you stand where he stood? But now we actually have the real song here, which is apparently an Aesop Rock track about construction. Now, funnily enough, while I have followed his music for a bit, I don't think I've ever been aware of... apparently this is just a thing he does sometimes, where he writes very, like, kid-friendly rap tracks. Mostly because I didn't think any kid has the reading level necessary to keep up with his bars. But, yeah, he has a song out, a one-off called Roadwork Rappin', which is, you know, about how construction is kind of neat. You know, the vehicles, they move that dirt around. And it's just about all the cool stuff that, you know, construction machinery does to, you know, make roads into better roads and to help work buildings. You know, the benefits of all that, the safety procedures you need to engage in. Yeah, kids, go listen to some Aesop Rock and then get degrees in construction. I wonder if this is actually going to work.
You know, yeah, this all just sounds like, yeah, it's a little something like something to play on, something to play on Nick Jr. And yes, I mean that. Yes, I mean that's a compliment. Like, okay, I guess it's like okay, you learn about construction and him, you know, basically doing like basically stuff for kids and not cursing, which. Usually, like, okay, he was like, oh, okay, it's not so bad. It, with him and his, you know, vocabulary of, you know, of things to say, like, ah, okay, I can sense, like, I mean, I don't know what happened or not, but I can sense, like, I don't know, like, kindergarten teachers playing this song, like, oh, hey, kids, here's a reconstruction by this rapper. His name is ASAP Rock. Like, teacher, don't you mean ASAP Rock? No, the other one, no, the other one. different rock. And I say ASAP, not ASAP.
Distinction. That's like a joke.
And that's like a joke teacher, like, damn.
Y'all gotta learn your words and literacy and stuff. But yeah, that's that. So moving on to the next track here. Looks like the guys in AFI have a new album dropping October 3rd, titled Silver Bleeds the Black Sun. And this one represents, like, a label change. This time, they're releasing it courtesy of Run for Cover Records, an independent label in Boston that mainly focused on a lot of post-hardcore and emo acts from within the past decade and a half. So think, like, Title Fight, Cloakroom, Citizen, Balance and Composure, Early Wonder Years, all that kind of stuff. So this is probably like the biggest band in terms of just lineage they have on the label at the moment, I would imagine. So we have the leadoff single here, Behind the Clock, and despite the label shift, the impression I'm getting from this song is that, kind of like with what I remember from their last album, I guess they're all still in their We Want to Be the Cure, you know, songwriting mode. The song mainly vamps on this very steady, repetitious bass groove all throughout. A lot of these multi-layered chorus-laden guitars that saturate the mix. Davey Havok's vocals, again, sounding like his interpretation of a Robert Smith performance. They're, again, I know I'm using this joke a lot lately, but it's kind of become like my go-to. There are many AFI songs out there, and this is one of them.
Yeah, it does feel like they're taking some bits from the Cure playbook. I have no idea why I wrote typo negative in here. I don't know where my mind was, but yeah, I sort of get all that, you know, stylized, you know, arrangement stuff, especially with the vocals, and it's fine. It's all right, but I can't say much more than that. Like, just go listen to The Cure instead. Just go listen to Disintegration instead.
We have The Cure at home. The Cure at home. But now we move on to the final track here. So it looks like the band Trivium have a new EP coming out this year. It's called Struck Dead, and perhaps fittingly, it's dropping on Halloween. So, that'll probably be fun for all the Trivium diehards. Anyway, we have the, you know, main song release here, Bury Me With My Screams. Again, pretty fitting for the band. Anyway, it starts about how I would expect a Trivium song to start off, with a lot of these rapid-fire thrash riffs that, to be fair, has a solid guitar tone, which gives the riff plenty of meat on its bones. The structure kind of swaps between, like, you know, fast thrash and bash, a lot of these, like, big sounding grooves. Of course, vocally, the verses kind of have a lot of these heavier screaming shouts, while Matt Heafy, of course, gets more melodious and soaring in the choruses. It's, again, I would say typical of what I expected of the Trivium sound, so unless you're already, like, really, really into it, it might not do much for you, although credit where it's due, the drums are putting in some work. Especially in the bridge, where you have a lot of these, like, just really wild-ass, just cymbal, ride, splash, China kind of, like, sticking patterns. I'm like, how are you playing that? Holy sh... I mean, like, props, but, like, how are you not breaking your wrists right now?
Dexterity. It's a hell of a thing. This is definitely one of the Trivium songs of all time, and it is a fine musical accompaniment to that fancy studio build that they've got. Who knew that all you needed to DIY your own setup was just to buy an abandoned airplane hangar?
The things you learn in life.
I hesitate to ask how much that cost.
Yes.
It cost 4 robs.
God damn it, Mark. Stop trying to sell me just because you can't get over the fact that you stole my blueberry Oreos.
Callbacks.
Your name wasn't on them.
That's right, folks. We are the one podcast that has continuity of lore. But anyway, that about does it for the new song discussion. We're going to take a quick bit of a break. And when we come back, we have a couple news items. So stay tuned. And we're back. So like I said, we have two news articles to discuss here. First of all, this first article takes us to one of our favorite recurring topics on this podcast, the intersection of music and A24. Yeah, that comes up quite a bit for some reason. I wonder if they're trying to tell us something. So yeah. We have a new well, project that they have in the pipeline. So a trailer recently came out for an A24 produced film called If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You. It's being directed by Mary Bronstein, coming out October 10th. And the general plot, as described here according to this Pitchfork piece, follows a psychotherapist named Linda, played by Rose Byrne, as she struggles to stay afloat after her daughter falls sick, her ceiling bursts from water damage, and her family moves into a motel in the process. Now, the film is being described as a high-anxiety drama film. Certainly sounds like it. And it has a good amount of interesting talent there. I'm seeing it also notes Conan O'Brien in the cast, as well as Daniel McDonald and Ivy Wolk. And, most notable to this discussion, ASAP Rocky.
Yeah. You haven't seen the trailer, too. Apparently he plays... I'm losing the name. It might be up to no good. Basically, that shit. And I've not even seen that. This is the second time that I've seen ASAP Rocky in an A24 movie. The other one was the one called From Highest to Lowest, although technically that's more of a A24 and Apple movie, because that was released to Apple, and that's the new Spike Lee movie that had him in it. There's a Washington in there, so yeah. Interesting. ASAP Rocky is gonna miss it. Dude's acting jobs, even though we ain't got no album film yet, except he's been promoting that damn Don't Be Dumb, which, yeah, still ain't came out yet. I mean, maybe take your time with it. I don't know, but okay. I mean, you should choose some interesting projects. At least you're sticking with a studio that has class art. I mean, you're picking better role. You're picking better person than your baby mama.
All right, Smurfs. That happened, apparently. I just pulled up the cast list on, like, Wikipedia real quick, and apparently it more directly specifies that ASAP Rocky is playing a motel superintendent named James. And also, Conan O'Brien is the therapist of the main therapist character, which, guys, you're getting this all wrong. Have you never watched Scott the Waz? Every therapist is their own mirror. Have you learned nothing from Dr. Geriatrix?
Maybe it's more like Dr. Katz.
Yeah, and given how you said this
God,
is a high...
Oh, God, that means wavy outlines.
Yeah, it's a high anxiety drama. Like, one of the producers of this movie is Josh Safdie. So, yeah, give me high anxiety.
Oh, so it's anxiety. Oh, y'all,
yeah,
fuck.
That makes sense.
Good luck with that. So, it already premiered at a Sundance literally at the beginning of the year, October 10th release, so let's see how that plays out. Anyway, enough of highbrow art and anxiety. Now let's just have some plain old fun. And this comes courtesy of a semi-recurring section we call Decibel Boost Podcast O&A Brand Synergy. So, have you all been watching this one show called Dawn to Dawn? Maybe you heard of it. It's kind of the new hot kid on the block. For those who are unaware, maybe you like to separate your chocolate from your peanut butter, Dawn to Dawn is a show that, on the one hand, is this really charming, awkward love story between these two high school kids named Ken and Momo. And on the other hand, it's the X-Files with anime magic. Ghosts, aliens, the Loch Ness Monster, fucking sentient bicycles, the alien from Aliens, fucking Space Godzilla shows up. Everything. Yep. Except for Mothman, weirdly enough. But, yeah, Dawn to Dawn in particular has been making a lot of waves with the most recent episode. Now, for a bit of context, one of the main characters of the show finds themselves possessed by a demon, or as they call it in this show, Tuesday. And so, the questionably hot grandma tries to get an exorcism going in order to expunge the spirit from this kid's body. And by exorcism, we of course mean heavy metal exorcism, because her contact just happens to be some glammed out fucking heavy ass metal band, and they do exorcisms with the power of sick shred guitar. And of course, when you put this in the hands of Science Saru and company, they have to go extra as fucking over the top. So we get a whole ass, like, 4-minute musical sequence in this episode with quite a few notable contributors. Very specifically, the actual song itself has the guitar efforts of one Mr. Marty Friedman, because who the fuck else are you gonna get to do sick metal guitar for an anime? The man's living out the dream, I wish I could. And, of course, there's the English dub for the series, which, you know, premieres pretty much the same time as the sub, and the vocals for the song, as recorded in English, were performed by Mark Hudson. That is the singer from Dragon Force. I am just going to say, in the history of understanding the assignment, I do not think there has ever been an assignment that was more aggressively understood than everyone who was involved in making this scene happen, because, surprise, surprise, it has been in a nonstop loop in my playlist for, like, the past several days. This is just fun, people.
It is very, very, very good and very fun, and the song also kicks a lot of ass. It's just, it fits. It fits so perfectly. This is peak television, folks. Watch it.
It's like, what are you doing with your lives if you're not making Dontadon your entire personality? Also, apparently I'm only now finding out that Dragon Force have an album that is very aggressively inspired by anime, apparently. Something called Starbound Stories, at least according to the Metal Sucks piece.
Yeah, that is something that they would do.
I don't know, maybe I have to check it out at some point. But yeah, absolutely wild.
Oh, that was not a Dragon Force album, but a solo album from the guy.
Yeah, that makes sense. Still think there should be a Dragon Force anime album. So
they'll
again,
give them time. They'll come around to it.
They got to stay relevant with the kids. So, yeah, that's just some of the most, like, balls-out, insane 4 minutes of television you watch. Y'all want to know what the best part about this is? As the only guy in this podcast, at least I'm pretty sure I'm the only guy in this podcast that actively keeps up with the manga, I can confirm these guys will come back.
Oh,
that's wonderful.
In a high-speed streetcar chase involving a sentient school building. I didn't stutter.
I believe it. I believe it.
Yeah, but I think that's like, that's probably going to take a bit to get there. I mean, we still have to roll through Space Godzilla and the dead composer ghosts arcs. Again, I did not stutter. This is a show where anything and everything can happen.
We've had enough crappy things happen over the last several months. We want to end on something stupid, happy, and fun for once.
Yeah.
Let us have it.
You all need joy in your lives. Let the Hayashi bring it to you. So, yeah, that about does it for the news discussions. So now we have one last thing we got to touch on here, and that is, of course, the new album releases for the week of August 15th, 2025. Your notable highlights include apparently a new Chevelle album, Bright as Blasphemy, Rise Against with a new project out called Ricochet, Joey Valance and Bray with the new album Hyper Youth, Chance the Rapper with Starline.
Oh boy.
Nowhere to go but up?
Maybe. Yeah.
And last, possibly also least, there's a new Maroon 5 project scheduled for this week called Love is Like. Now, I know the immediate instinct is to cringe, but hear me out. Hear me out for a second. When was the last time you had no choice but to think about Maroon 5? Because I gotta be honest, I'm pretty sure it's been at least a few years since they had any chart activity whatsoever.
The last time I remember...
When was that memory song?
Memories.
Oh my god, that was 5 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Think about it. 5 years ago, we have not had to actively care about Maroon 5 for 5 years. That sound you hear in the background is a gigantic sigh of satisfaction from Todd in the Shadows.
Yeah, I mean, I think the last time I heard Maroon 5 was when Tachacon was done with it. It was like, oh, they released nothing this year that charted. So it was like, okay.
It's like, let's keep it that way.
Yeah.
Because usually he would be in the
golden safe zone. It might finally happen.
They haven't been charting anything since, so it was like, I think we're there.
Yes. And let's keep it that way. So, yeah, with that out of the way, now it's time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
The usual places, as always and as not always. The Discord, other Discords, my other show, and some of the other places that we all frequent and we post random shit whenever we feel like it. You all know the places. Sorry if I sound kind of crappy. I'm still coming off of being sick, so... Yeah.
Fair enough. Mark, what about you?
Of course, Sky of Blue, Max Hyper Media, my site, hyper1.wordpress.com. Of course, what I've been doing for the past months is basically posting my story series, Booker's on Amirta, which hopefully I should be done writing soon because I'm writing the finale as I'm recording this. Well, at the time of recording, so hopefully I should be done soon, and I should have to do the latest for a week, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. So that way you all can read the entirety of, as they would say in the Espanol, Bienvenidos a Zona Muerta. Hmm. I just thought that would be fun to say.
Oh, it is. Nice.
And as for me, you can find me on Blue Sky and other places at Rob Barracuda. You can email me, robert@sewerresolution.com, for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Be sure to follow us on Blue Sky @sewerresolution. Visit the website, sewerresolution.com, for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, all that good stuff. Thank you for tuning in this week. We'll, of course, be back next week with more of the usual weekly business. So, until next time, man, I sure am glad I'm not Ice Cube right now.
Oh, God. Oh, God.